in the period of time between Sukkos and Parshas Bereishis, we finish the Torah, Li'enei Kol Yisrael, we begin the Torah again, Bereishis Bar Elokim, Simchas Torah, and then following that, Shabbos Bereishis, the Kli Yoker at the end of the Torah in Parshas Vezos HaBracha has a very beautiful remez, which he finds in the connection between Li'enei Kol Yisrael, specifically the Lamed, the Os Lamed, which ends and completes the Torah, and the beginning of the Torah, Bereishis, the Beis. And he's trying to understand why the Torah begins with a Beis and ends with a Lamed. And he says the following, that there's something unique about these two letters in the Hebrew alphabet. If you take the letters of the Shem HaGadol, that's Yud Kei Vav Kei, and you add them to the Beis or to the Lamed, if you add any of those three letters, because you know we're not going to repeat the Hey, so we had Yud, Hey, and Vav. So you take the Yud, the Hey, and the Vav, those are three letters that if you add them to any letter in the Torah, they would not form a word in Lashon Kodesh. There would be no Teva, with the exceptions of the Beis and the Lamed. In other words, if you take the Yud, the Hey, or the Vav, and you add them to the Beis or to the Lamed, you'll create a full word. So, for example, if you add Yud to a Beis, you get B. You add Vav to the Beis, you get Bo. And if you add a Hey to a Beis, you get Ba. Same thing you could do with the letter Lamed. If you add a Yud to a Lamed, it's Li. If you add a Vav to a Lamed, it's Lo. And if you add the Hey to a Lamed, it's La. So we have B, Bo, Ba, Li, Lo, La. Those are six words. All these six words are legitimate words in Lashon Kodesh, and they are words which begin with the letter Beis. In the cases of B, Bo, Ba, begin with the letter Li, Lamed, excuse me, in the case of Li, Lo, La, and adding the Yud, Vav, and Hey to either the Beis or to Lamed, we get those words, those six words, because those three letters, Yud, Vav, Lamed, Yud, Vav, Hey, are the words of Shem Hashem. So we're somehow integrating the Shem Hashem into the beginning of the Torah and into the end of the Torah. By beginning the Torah with a Beis and ending with a Lamed, we can add the Shemos of Hashem, and we know that the Torah itself is the Shemos of Hashem. That is the Torah. When we speak about Kishem Hashem Ekra, we're talking about the Shem Hashem, that's Torah. Torah is just the Tziruf of Shemos of Hashem. So we begin the Torah with Tzirufim, and we end with Tzirufim, all of the name Hashem. And the Bir, says the Kli Yakar, the inner, deeper meaning of this is that there's a remez here to the fact that everything in the universe, the entire cosmos, is dependent upon God. God creates it, Almighty God creates it, and it's His, with a capital H. So if we take, for example, the Beis, what we're saying is, in the case of the Beis, that B, if you add the Yud, Ba, and Bo, if you add the Hey and the Vav, is Hakol Toli B. In other words, God is saying that by starting the creation and the Torah itself, because Istakel Baraisa Bara Alma, with the Beis, he's talking about B, Hakol Toli B. And then the creatures themselves respond with Bo. And they say, Hakol Toli Bo. Again, we need the Bo because of the truth of the Kabbalists, the Chachmei HaEmes, the Mekubalim, that the Shekhinah is Nukva. So we have the feminine Bo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Li. In the case of Li'enei Kol Yisrael with a Lamed at the end, Li. Li Tevel Mloa. Everything belongs to Hashem. Hashem Aretzu Meloa. So not only is everything dependent upon Hashem, everything is owned by Hashem, God is the true existence and all of reality is contingent upon God's existence and is nothing more than an extension of God's existence. That's the base of creation. That's the base at the beginning of the Torah. But Li means that everything belongs to Hashem. Ki Li Kol Haaretz. Lashem Haaretz Umaloah. The Li of the Lamed of the Eini Kol Yisrael ends the Torah to teach you that not only is Hashem responsible for the existence of every being, but everything belongs to Him. Li Tevel Umaloah. And the creatures say Lo, that everything belongs to Him. And Lo, as we said before, the Nikva, the feminine, the Nukva aspect of the Shekhinah. And this is the remez, this is the allusion to the Achdus of Hashem, to the oneness, the unity of God. Everything is God, everything that exists is because God wills it to exist. All of existence belongs to God. He's the master and the owner of the universe. These concepts are alluded to because they are the Yesodei HaTorah. These are the fundamentals of the Torah. And therefore, the fundamentals have to be in the Psicha and in the Chasima, in the beginning, the opening, and in the end. So therefore, the Torah begins with the Beis and ends with the Lama. This teaches us that Hashem is the Poseach, He opens, He creates, He's the Soger, everything is dependent upon Him. And that's the Yesod of the Torah itself. So we have a beautiful connection now between Simchas Torah, when we complete the Torah and begin it again, and of course Parshas Brachos, that we begin Shabbos following Sukkos. And this expression of the oneness of God, the absolute existence of the Almighty, and the fact that everything depends upon Him and is owned by Him, this is really one long song. The Torah is a Shira Azos, it's called the Shira. It's a song, and in today's discussion we want to speak about song, about music, about other facets of our abilities to praise God. Again, getting back to the connection between Sukkos and Brachos, we're going to see this combination very high profile in the connection between the Simchas Beis HaShoeva that took place in the Beis HaMikdash daily during the days of Simcha, the days of Sukkos, and we'll see it again at the early dawn of human history as it's recorded in Parshas Brachos. So let's go back to Sukkos. We're going to look in the Mishnah, in the fifth parak of Sukkah, the fourth Mishnah, Chasidim V'Anshei Maisa. The Mishnah describes in very dramatic and colorful terms, it depicts in front of us that the nature and the experience of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, when the pious people, those who were dedicated to Hashem, the Anshei Maisa, those who were saintly in their behavior, would sing and dance in front of Hashem in the Mikdash. Shoyimarakdin lifneim ba'avuko shel or shebiyadeim. They carried and even juggled avukos shel or, these torches of light. And the torches of light were indeed made, as the Gemara explains, from bloy, bigdei kahuna. Everything, all our avoda, is focused on this simcha, this rikud, in front of Hashem. The omrim lifneim. And here's the song that we mentioned before. It's not just rikud, it's not just juggling the avuko shel or, this song, Divrei Shiros V'Shishbachos. We're talking about verbal singing, and the content of that singing is Shira V'Tishbacha. V'Alevim, and this singing was accompanied by music that was played by the Levim, B'Kinoros, B'Nevolim, Uvim Tziltayim, below Mispar. The Mishnah says that there were endless amounts, numbers, volumes of different kinds of organs, of musical instruments. There were kinoros, there were nevolim, and we'll see that the kinar and the navel are always used as expressions of song in front of Hashem, the Kli Shir. Bracious that follows the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, we read the Parsha Bracious, is likewise full of Pirkei Shira, song at the great and awesome creation, the complexity, the colors, the creatures that are created by God. And the song is a song of Shevach V'Tishbacha. It's a song that's accompanied by musical instruments. The Rambam at the end of Hilchos Sukkah Lulav, Perek Ches, Halach Yud Gimel, V'Heichos HaSimcha Zu, HaChalil Makeh, Menagne B'Kinar, Uvinavolim, Uvim Tziltayim, V'Chol Echad V'Echad B'Kli Shir Shu Yodel Inaginbo. Everyone had their own musical instrument that they were proficient at. Each individual participated in the simcha by playing on his instrument. Umishiyodeh, says the Rambam, b'peh, b'peh. If he couldn't sing, if he couldn't play an instrument, he would sing. Or perhaps he would accompany his instrument with singing. This was all the great Shira of Chag HaSukkos. And the forefront, who was up there leading the Shira, it's the Hasidim, the Anshei Maisa. We'll see something like that in David HaMelech, HaYimacharkir, Mephazel, Lifnei Hashem, when the Aron is returned from the Plishtim, David is singing wildly, dancing wildly in front of the Aron. The Rambam goes on to say at the end of Hilchos Sukkah, as you all know, that the Midah Hanava here is in place. This is not a situation, this is not a moment or a cross-section of time in which a person should be omed on his gedula and say, well, I'm above this. On the contrary, it's the greats and the leaders of the nation who are at the forefront of this singing of Shira in front of Hashem. It's also a further expression of the bi bo ba that we spoke about, the li lo la of the Kli Yakar. It's a beautiful expression of man using all his capabilities in singing, in music, in praise to Hashem, dancing wildly during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. As we enter into the year post-Sukkos, this is what we take with us. The energy of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva that projects us through the year. It should be a year of Shira and Tishbachos, appreciating God's creation, understanding that Mechadish Betuvo, everything comes from Hashem on a constant basis. How could we connect the central idea of the Kli Shir back to Parshas Bereishis? And here I'd like to study with you in the fourth chapter of Bereishis, a section in the Torah that provides us with historical background, but I think there's much more, to Lemech and his descendants. Of course, the Mefarshim want to know why the Torah spends so much time on Lemech and his descendants. After all, they were all wiped out during the Mabul. We have no Zecher of any of them, it would seem. But yet the Torah wants us to know that they contributed to society, to mankind. And the Torah says, again, it's in Perek Dalid. We look at Pasuk Yud Tes, Vayikach lo Lemech, Shtei Nashim. Lemech marries two wives, Shema Achas Oda, Veshema Shenis Tzila. Each one, Oda and Tzila, are going to beget children to Lemech, Vateled Oda es Yavol. And we're going to skip for a moment and come back, Veshema Achiv Yuvol. So that we see that Ada gives birth to Yovel and to Yuval, two names that sound very similar. And then we have the second wife of Lemech, that's Tzila, Gamhi Yolda as Tuval Kayin. There seems to be a similarity in his name to Kayin, who, as you recall, at the beginning of the story of Bereishis, in the earlier chapter, was the murderer of Hevel, his brother. And finally, Achos Tuval Kayin Naama. Apparently Tzila gave birth to a daughter as well, and her name was Naama. Now the Torah doesn't just simply list the generations, the genealogy by name, but adds a description to at least three out of the four cases. Let's go back and read the pasuk again, the part that we skipped over. Vateled Odo es Yovol Hu Hoya Avi Yoshev Oel Umikne. Yovel has a contribution to make in the history of man and human culture. He's the Avi Yoshev Oel Umikne. We'll see what Rashi says about that. And then Vishem Achiv Yuval. I don't know why it says Achiv here. We'll see the Netziv on this. It should have said another child of Adah, but Yuval is the brother of Yovel. Again, the similarity, not only in names, but the fact that the Torah emphasizes their brotherhood. And who is Yuval? What's he famous for? Hu Hoya Avi Kol Tofes Kinar V'Yugav. We're talking about musical instruments, the harp and the flute. Tzila, Gamhi Yoldas Tuval Kayin. And what is the job of Tuval Kayin? He's a lotesh, he's a sharpener of Kol Choresh Nechoshes Ubarzel. He's a lotesh. The Ramban explains he's a sharpener and crafter of all copper and iron. In other words, he did all kinds of work with copper and iron. Then the Torah mentions that he, Tuval Kayin, had a sister named Nama. We don't know anything here in the Torah about Nama. And then Lemech, in the next pasuk, talks to his wives, tries to calm them down. He says, Ish haragti lefitz'i v'yelid l'chaburasi. They're worried about divine vengeance and punishment that's going to take place in their generation because of murder. Rashi explains that Lemech murdered Kayin, who had in turn murdered Hevel earlier, but the murder of Kayin by Lemech was inadvertent. Rashi says it was a situation in which Lemech was a blind person. Tuval Kayin, his son, was leading him, and Lemech saw Kayin, he thought he was an animal, and as a result of this whole shalsheles, this whole chain of events, he, Lemech, killed Kayin. HaKadosh Baruch had promised that if anyone kills Kayin, he would be punished, and therefore the wives of Lemech were partial, they stayed away from him, they didn't want to be part of the divine punishment, but here in these psukim, he tries to calm them down, and he says to them, Ki isha ragti lefitz'i, v'yelid lechaburasi, in other words, don't accuse me of a willful, deliberate murder, because I was a shogeg, valo shogeg ani valo mezid. And then in Pasuk Chavdal, ki shivasayim yukam kayin, which literally translates as, if Kayin suffered vengeance at seven generations, then Lemech at 77 generations. Lemech shivim v'shiva. Rashi explains, Kayin Shaharik b'mezid nitlalo ad shiva doros. Kayin, who was a deliberate murderer, God says that his punishment would take place seven generations later, perhaps at the Mabul. Maybe Kayin died in the Mabul, the Ramban suggests. Ani sharagti shogeg lo kolshken shiitlali shviyos harbe, many sevens, in this case 77 generations. And we'll see the significance of the number 77 generations. What I'd like to study with you is Rashi on this parasha. Who was Yovel? We know that he was Yoshev Oel Umikna. Says Rashi, Hu Hoya Harishon Leroe Behemos Bimidboros. it means that Yovel had a great contribution to society at that time. Of course, there were the mankind would live off to some extent the flocks of sheep, etc., different kinds of mikneh, cows and goats and other similar animals, sheep and goats. And he, Yuval, was the first one, was the first one, Leroy Bemis Midboros, to teach how to take these animals and shepherd them through the wilderness. He's a Yoshev Oel, means that he lives in one tent and then he moves from one tent, establishing another tent in another location for the sake of Miretzono, in order to find more grazing area for his flock. Kishakola Mara b'makom zeh holich v'tokeo holo b'makom acher. It means that Yovel taught the trade. He was the first one to teach the trade of shepherding an animal by transferring him from place number one, from one locale to another. However, Rashi offers a second interpretation. The name of the Medrash Agada, we'll come back to that in a moment. First, let's see Rashi on Tuval Kayin. Rashi skips Yuval. We'll see the Netziv on Yuval, Koltoves, Kinov Yugov. But going over to Tuval Kayin, is Rashi suggests that Tuval Kayin was a Lotesh, Kolchoresh, Nechoshes, Ubarzel. The Ramban also emphasizes that there was a contribution here that was made by Tuval Kayin. The Ramban says that the reason why the Torah recounted these six generations after Shais, the Toldos of Shais, even though they would be destroyed by the flood, says the Ramban, Sipur B'Eli told us about these. All of these are descendants of Kayin. Lodia mi hoyu amaschilim bebinyan ha'orim uvemirei hatzon v'chochmas hanigun. It's all to inform us who were the first people to master building cities, tending flocks, the art of music, and the craft of metalworking. All this is attributed to the offspring of Kayin, the children of Lemech, to Yovel, who was the first to dwell in tents and breed livestock, to wander from place to place with his flocks in search of pasture, as we saw in Rashi. And then we go on to Yuval. He's the Avikol Tofes Kino V'Ugov. He's responsible for the art of music. And then we move on to Tuval Kayin, who is the originator of the craft of metalworking, as he works by sharpening and crafting copper and iron and metal. The Netziv in Hamek Dover, I'd like to study with you, Vateled Ada Es Yovel. The Netziv is first and foremost impressed by the fact that in the context of the name Yovel, Ada is mentioned, the mother rather than the father. Usually the father gives the name. He says, Heichan dechsiv alei dev Hashem al shem ha'em is muvan shashem hi bekavana. The mother, in a more intense way, has a specific intention by giving a particular name. And so Yovel is an important name. And what does the name Yovel indicate? And the answer is, he's the Avi Yoshev Oel. Mikne Yovel means Hovala, as we say today in modern Hebrew, the Movilim. Those are the Sabalim, those who are responsible to move things from place to place. And therefore the name Yovel reflects the fact that he had invented this ability, this knowledge. He revealed this capability and knowledge of how to graze one's flock and then move the flock and reestablish it in another place. Not easy to move around the flock. They get used to one place, but now we have to learn how to get them used to another place. V'shem Achiv. And why does it say Achiv? Says that it's in B'esek Echad. That's why it says Achim, because they are working together as a partnership, as a brotherhood. And what is the job of Yuval? Also Miloshen Havala, says the Netziv, Ki hu hirgish da mikne nimshach achar ashir. He understood the significance of music and playing musical instruments in order to move the flock and perhaps calm them down when they get a little nervous. It has a calming effect. This is what we call music therapy. So the originator of music therapy was Yuval, the brother of Yuval. Himtzi laso le'esek ha'mikne klishir. And there are too many klishir over here. We spoke about the flute, the harp, and the flute. And these are shir pulosim eschalfos. What's the difference between the harp and the flute? Each one has a different function within the broader context of shepherding the flock. Kinar yosim esugal menucha v'sheina. The harp is some soothing. Ugov the flute lehepach marim esharayon. They somehow stimulate the feelings of the flock, make them more active and energetic, and that's what's going to be necessary to move the flock from place to place, put them in a calm mood, energize them. This was all the contribution of Yuval. And finally, the Netziv says, Tuval Kayin, Manhig Esek Kayin, he continued the work of Kayin, Shiavodas HaDoma. We know from the earlier parsha here that Kayin was someone who was dedicated to working the land, and now Tuval Kayin would bring that land, work of the land and farm, the farm of the agriculture, to a higher level, to the next level. I know Lotesh Kolchere, he says, Ubazel Asakli Harisha Uktsira. These are plows that he created and sickles of different sorts to cut down the wheat and the grains. So we have here in the Netziv an approach that's universal to all these three names, that common to the three of them, that these individuals, and that's why they're mentioned here, have a tremendous contribution, both in terms of building and metalworking and tending the flocks and music. All this is going to advance and project human culture and science on a pragmatic level to the next level. And these individuals, who were pretty much wiped out, but nevertheless they have their impact and influence even beyond the Mabul because of the contribution they each made respectively. But as we said at the outset, we were putting an emphasis on music, not just because of its impact on the flock, on the tzon, but also because of its usability, its function as a conduit to sing praise to Hashem. We saw it in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And we're going to see another dimension to the musical instruments. In the famous Gemara at the beginning of Brachos, about the kinar of David, kinar ayatoli lemala mimitasa shel David. So the harp was, in a sense, suspended over David's bed. Kevin shigia chatzos laila. As soon as David had chapterine a little bit of sleep, who knows, maybe he got 2-3 hours of sleep, and then ba ruach tzfonis no sheves bo, there was a northerly wind that came and played on the harp. Umenagin me'elof. This was an instrument that played by itself, and what was its goal, its purpose? Miyad oya osek, omeid v'osek b'torah, ad sha'ola amura shachar. David HaMelech would wake up, like a lion, he would get out of bed to the song, the music of the harp, and he would dedicate himself to the study of Torah. And we see now that there's a connection here between Torah and the kinar. We saw that the kinar was a mainstay as an instrument in Shevach, V'tishbachos Shira, in front of Hashem at the time of the Migdash on the day of Simcha. This is all part of the Shira of Torah that we spoke about. The Shir of Torah is because Torah is a song to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a song of praise. It's a Kiyum Shira. My Rebbe used to always speak about the fact that Torah is called a Shir. We get up every morning, we make a bracha on Torah. Perhaps we don't get up as early as David HaMelech does, we're not as dedicated and successful as he was in learning, but nevertheless, each in our own humble way, we make our contribution using the Torah as song. The Torah itself is song. There are people who learn with a niggun, and that niggun is meant to be pleasant. It's a sheer na'im, it's a very pleasant song. And the kinar, the harp, is meant to accompany that song of praise to Hashem. As we said, the entire Torah, the B and the Bo and the Ba, the Li, the Lo and the La, is all one continuous song of praise to Hashem. And there's a sefer called the Mincha Blula, which was published many, many centuries ago, over 400 years ago, and it's difficult to get a hold of. Rav Olbaum photocopied it, at least the part that's relevant to us, the Yoshev Oel Umikna. And now we see the connection between the episode of Cain and Hevel and the children of Lemech and their respective contributions. And certainly in the case of Yovel, who's the Avi Yoshev Oel Umikna, teaches us something about how to be a Roet Son. Says the Mincha Blula, Lemalos Mokom Hevel, Shoya Roet Son. Hevel was a shepherd and his life was cut short. Ki ulay amalacha zos avdu mos hevel, and it's possible that the successful ability of man to tend his flocks and shepherd them was lost with the death of Hevel. And now the children, or in this case one of the children of Lemech, specifically Yovel, is meant to fill in that which was taken away by Hevel. Again, it's a very touching kind of almost like a play that's being played out in front of us, in which human society is moving forward. We had a setback when Hevel was killed because he was the great Roet Tzon. Now Yovel is coming to replace Hevel. The similarity in names, the Hovelah, the ability, we must be able to successfully bring our flock from grazeland to grazeland, from Oel to Oel. This malacha was contributed by Yovel. The Mincha Blula, when he gets to Naama, you remember that Naama is the Achos Tuval Kain. She too is a daughter, is a child to Lemech. And the Torah doesn't tell us what her contribution was. But the Targum Yerushalmi Yonason offers a, to fill in the blank, Shem Tzia Molechas Ashir Bepeh. In other words, we had in the Migdash on Simchas Pesach Hashoeva, we had great instruments playing. But what about those who didn't play instruments? They sang. Where did the singing, the human singing, the human voice, where was that established? It was by Naama. He says, V'hotzi Naama Milosha Ne'imus. The name Naama reflects the Ne'imus, the beauty, the soft music that came out of her voice. Umashalos Kira Torah Malachta Beferish Kiesa Malachos. And if you'll ask me why the Torah deliberately omitted Hamalacha, I would believe Mishum Dekola Yibisharva. There's a certain amount of modesty in the Torah. The Torah doesn't want to emphasize the singing of a woman, in this case Naama, and she had such a beautiful voice. She really taught the world how her legacy was, how to sing in a beautiful way. And again, it's a great contribution. If we combine the singing of Naama with the instruments, the musical instruments of Yovel, we have here the beautiful harmony and symphony of man singing in front of Hashem his beautiful praises. In Hoshanis that we recite on the days of Sukkos, we again mention these clay shir. We say, Laman Chayecha, out of love of your existence, God, Mecharker Bashir, we will sing out in praise. Hamalame Torah B'chol Klishir, again, the Hoshanas connect Limud Torah, teaching Torah, with Klishir, to the extent in which we can use music to enhance our Talmud Torah, Talmud Torah as Shira, Kli Shir as Shira, it's one and the same. It's again a reflection of what we saw with regard to the Kinar of David that woke him up, and David dedicated himself with that song, with that music, to the study of Torah. And if you have any doubts about the power of music and its significance according to Jewish thought, then take a look in the Tamei HaMinhagim, a very interesting sefer in and of itself. Maybe we'll talk about it another time on for Shavuos. He speaks about the Tamei HaTorah V'Sodos. How do we discover the meaning, the deeper meaning that underlies the Torah and its mitzvahs? Where are the sodos, the secrets of the Torah? And he quotes the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon was quoted by the Pasas Shulchan, his Talmud Muvak, as saying, "Kol hachachmos klulim b'Torasenu HaKadosha." All of human culture is included in the Torah, all of wisdom, human wisdom and reason, including chachmas hamuzika, the art of music, shvach harbe. That's one branch of chachma which plays a very, very significant role. We cannot say enough, says the Gaon, to praise the art of music and its significance. Verov tamei Torah, v'sodos shiri aleviim, v'sodos tikunei zohar, i'efsho leida biladeh. There's no way of really understanding, having a deep and comprehensive grasp of the meaning of the Torah on a deeper level, its secrets, understanding the songs of the Leviim and the secrets that are inherent therein, or for that matter, the Zohar of the Kabbalah, without understanding music. Efshar, it's impossible. Efshar leida sodos ator biladeh, without music. Val yada, and someone who really delves into the chachma of music and understands it on its deepest level, most profound level, is impacted by music. Is yecholim b'nei adam lamus b'kalos nafsha minusel. The ne'imus of music is so powerful, so intense and profound that the guf can no longer host the neshama, the nefesh. The nefesh just has to completely fly away from the guf. It's on such a high spiritual note, level. V'yecholim lahachyos mesim b'sodoseh agnuzim b'torah. If you knew the secrets and you were able to reveal them, you would have the ability, the key, to resurrect the dead. So this, my friends, is one approach in which we see that the children of Lemech each respectively had a great contribution to make to society, to the song of praise, giving us the ability throughout the generations, especially the Beis HaMikdash, to sing the songs of praise accompanied by the musical instruments, that great symphony orchestra, that lovely music, that if, says the Gaon, we would only understand it, we would reveal Rov Tamei HaTorah, because they're all inherent in that music. But there is another approach. And we mentioned at the outset that Rashi, quoting a Medrash Haggadah, has a different interpretation of Yovel and his quote-unquote contribution. It's not much of a contribution according to Rashi's second pshat. Rashi says he was bone batim l'avodah zarah. The OL that he was establishing was dedicated for idol worship. And Rashi quotes a pasuk in Tanakh to prove this. And the word mikneh here in this pasuk is to be identified with a mikneh in Yechezkel Perek Ches, which is a different word than the tzon of Hevel, but rather the mikneh here is like the hamakneh, and it's referring to Avodah Zorah. Not only that, Rashi says that Tuval Kayin was not just the master of metalwork, who had given to mankind the ability, the craft of building cities, but moreover, says Rashi, what's Tuval Kayin's contribution again in inverted commas? Tuval Kayin is Tovel Umnoso Shel Kayin. He, in a sense, sharpened We're talking about the Avera of Ritzicha. If in the case of Yaval, we're talking about the Avera of Avodah Zarah, in the case of Yuval, we're talking about the Chet of Ritzicha. These are two out of three of the cardinal sins. And it's interesting that the Malbim, when he speaks about Yuval, he says that Yuval is not responsible for Avodah Zarah, but rather Yuval, he says, who amamtzi harishon lahamshich lev noshim v'alkein nikra shmo ugov miloshen shir agovim. Ugov, which is the flute, which was created by Yuval, is the word ugov comes to the word agovim. I got my love songs. Yeah, we're talking about lahamshich lev noshim. In other words, these flutes are being used not, as we said earlier, for the sake of worship of Hashem and reflecting the beauty and the loftiness of song, of praise to God, but on the contrary, these are songs that were used in the wrong way for Gilui Arayos. We have here now the third element of the cardinal sins here. So when we're talking about the children of Lemech, you know, we can look at it on one level, let's say Pshuto Shel Mikra, as referring to the contributions they made for society. We stand on the shoulders of these giants and we move forward. But on the other hand, according to Midrashim, according to Chazal on a deeper level, these individuals were much more complex than we make them out to be. They weren't purely men of science. They weren't, in the sense, the Me'ish HaDas that the Rav used to speak about in his writings, who made a contribution that would ultimately lead man to land on the moon. No, that's not what we're talking about. They were complicated people. They were very much human beings that were drawn towards the lower and more base element of a human body, and they were in violation of three different averos. And I just want to mention to you that in the Kabbalistic writings, not that I'm a Mekubal in any sense, Lemech is really Shol, meaning Shol is a Gilgul Neshama of Lemech. And it says that the retribution against Lemach's murder of Cain would take place in 77 generations. The Rambam Mipanuel says that Daki Shol Amelech HaYimelech HaRishon Shemolech Al Yisrael V'Hoyenitzotz De Lemech Ki Lemech U'Melech Osios Shavos. In other words, Lemech and Melech are the same. Melech is referring to the first king, namely Shol HaMelech. He's Lemech. Melamichad Shol HaMelech Yeshivim V'Shivadoros. There are 77 generations between Lemech and Shol. V'inei Lemech Harages Kayin. Lemech, we know, was responsible for the death of Kayin. And 77 generations later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to mete out the punishment, in this case against Shaul, who's the Nitzotz of Lemech. And therefore, Shaul knew that he was Chayev Misa, because he had killed Kayin, if you equate Shaul with Lemech. And Shaul indeed did suffer, of course, the terrible death that he did. And that was, according to the Bali Kabbalah, the retribution 77 generations later for Lemech's murder of Kayin. Now it's interesting that if Shaul HaMelech knew in some sense, again I can't tell you whether it was an acute awareness or some sort of general latent awareness, that he was guilty of such a crime 77 generations earlier, then even when he sat on his Kisei Malchus, he would have been already quite nervous about the punishment, the retribution that God would mete out against him. And if you open up to Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tes Zayim, it's an interesting perek because it says, Hinei na ruach Elokim ra mevasecha. The Tanakh describing this ruach ra that takes over Shaul in a certain kind of sense, if we use a little bit of literary license, we're seeing that Shaul is suffering the guilt pangs of a murderer. And therefore, the Avadim of Shaul, the servants of Shaul, suggest to him that what should bring his spirit up, what power or force on the face of the earth can be therapeutic to Shaul, who is wallowing in his guilt. He's depressed. Yomar no Adonenu avodecha lefanecha yevakshu ish yodea minagen bekinor. Let's look and locate a person who knows how to play the harp. And then v'hoya b'yos olecha ruach elokim ra'av v'nigen b'yado v'tov lach is a perfect example of music therapy. The source for music therapy might be in Parshas Bereishis, and it was a creation of Yuval, the Tofes Kino, but the implementation in a practical sense of that musical ability and therapeutic ability inherent in music was utilized by Shaul, was going to be used at the time of Shaul to bring him up from his depression. And it's amazing, because if we equate that music and that Shira, the power of Shira, with the Torah itself, then who is it that's going to be the great menagem that they will find to do this job of bringing Shaul out of his depression, alleviating his suffering, and uplifting his spirit? Vayomer Shaul avodav ruuna ish meitiv lenagen, who is great at playing? Haveyosim alive vayan echad me'aneorim vayomer hinei reisi ben Yishai, that's David HaMelech. He's yodea nagen gibor chayel ish mulchama novon dovar v'ish tovar v'ashem imo. And sure enough, it's fascinating that David, as a Roetzon, uses his abilities of music to play those instruments, and as we saw in the Netziv, that will somehow have a therapeutic effect on the Tzon, and now David is called upon to use those same abilities to have a therapeutic effect on Shaul. Again, Shaul as a representation of Lemech. Lemech is responsible for the worst crime of murder. His children, perhaps, for the Gimel Averus Chamuros. The depression of Shaul is a reflection of that person, Lemech. And now, we need to use those kochos, those same musical abilities in the art of music, inherent to the art of music, and rechannel them in a different way, through the personality of David, and that's going to bring Shaul out of his Lemech depression. So it's now David who's the singer of Israel, the Ne'im's Miros Yisrael, the player of the harp, the kinar of David that wakes him up every morning to learn Torah. That is the power on earth that is going to be the antidote against the destructive, murderous powers of Lemech. And, of course, the depression of Shaul, which is a reflection of Lemech. And the Radak says, Yodea menagin bekinor, yodea bechachmas hanigun, shu menagin bechinor. David knows not only to listen to the kinor, but also to play the kinor. The gibar chayil, sheyeshlo, gvura salev l'chol davar. He's courageous. V'ish melchama yodeh binyani melchamas v'hur galbov v'novon dover kitagumo suchlosu v'eitzer klomar l'chol dvar eitzer hu novon. David represents the personification of not just a music player, but also of a courageous man of war, an individual who has wisdom to give an eitzer tova. He, in that sense, is the shalem, reaches the shlemus. He's the man who's going to uplift the spirit of Shaul. And what an appropriate choice. Who could be a better candidate than David HaMelech? And it's interesting that the Baal HaTurim in Parshas Naso, where he discusses the concept of Shalom, Shalom meaning perfection, he says that David represents a certain case, an expression of Shalom, and he sees it right here in the same Parsha of Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tezayin. He says, "B'David k'siv yodea nagen," etc., etc. He says, "Yodea nagen sheyodea lishol." He knows how to ask a question. The art of studying Torah and Hashem's wisdom depends upon the ability of a person to be curious, to ask questions. Gibar chayil yodea lahoshiv, and to know how to respond to those questions, to look into the Torah, delve into its deeper meaning, and answer and resolve all the problems, all the ambiguities. Ish melchama yodea lisa v'litein b'melchamta shel Torah navon dover mevin dover mitok dover ish tar shemar eponim b'halacha Hashem imo shehol halacha kemosa b'chol makom. He's going to be the Mashiach. He's got the ruach of the Mashiach. The pasuk says in Yeshayahu, Hanavi perkidal v'nachal of ruach Hashem, ruach chachma ubina, ruach etzo gvura, ruach das v'yiras Hashem. David represents the Mashiach. He has all these great attributes within him. They're all indicated by the pasuk that's describing Ben Yishai. Hashem is with him. He has the Ruach Hashem that rests upon him, and that's the Ruach of Chochma and Bina, of Eitza and Gvura. That's the Ruach of Yediyas Hashem, of Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem. That's the Ruach of David. That's the song that we want to strive for. That's the use of music at its best, in its loftiest and most spiritual ascent. That music can both be therapeutic and at the same time represent the study of Torah, which is, as we said, a Shirat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We come back full swing to Chag HaSukkos, to the Chassidim and Anshei Maisa, the Rikud, the Divrei Shiras V'Sishbachos, the Leviim accompanying the song with Klei Shir below Mispar Kinoros, David HaMelech and his Mefazes Lufnei Hashem. All this is to take music and use it and channel it for the best that's in man, to uplift man in his spirit, to sing the lofty praises of Hashem. And Yirtz Hashem, may each and every one of us use the Torah as the conduit of Shir and Tishbachos, to sing in front of Hashem. We are the Tzon of Hashem. The music has a therapeutic and uplifting spirit on the Tzon, to move from place to place, to come closer and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to now focus our energies as we enter into this winter Zman, to go from Sukkos, to carry with us the memory of the Chassidim, the Anshei Maisa, the Anshei, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the great joy of singing in front of Hashem, to use all our talents, both intellectual in the study of Torah, both our voice, our vocal cords in the most beautiful Shira, to use any cliché, any instruments, musical, we can, so that the art of music can be used, as the Gaon says, for the ultimate chachma. And in that sense, we will bring Nachas Ruach in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam during the days and months to come. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, Kein Yehi Ratzon.